for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, March the 30th, 2018. Deborah Vales is the speaker of this service, teaching on the purpose of prayer.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I do thank God for being here today. Thank God for the presence of the Lord that's so rich in this place this morning. We were singing, the Lord put a, as we were praying actually, the Lord put this little song on my heart, and we'll just sing a little bit of this. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you.
Hallelujah.
Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. How many of you want God to come in His way?
Amen.
He wants to do a work, and He is doing a work in our lives. And it's awesome when we allow Him to be God. Amen. No one can do you like God. Come on, somebody. Nobody can touch you like the Master. He has the Master touch on today. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. I thank God for His touch. I thank God for the move of the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Bobby, I appreciate that song. Because truly the Lord come to break every chain. Every fetter. Every weight. Every bondage. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not too big for God's sins to handle. And we thank God for it today. Praise the Lord. My assignment this morning, the Lord told me to talk about prayer. So I'm going to talk about the purpose of prayer. How many of you know we need more prayer?
Yes.
Yeah, we can't get enough of talking to God. Amen. Communing with Him. Praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to share some scriptures about prayer. I love to pray. I thank God for the opportunity to pray. As I thought about this morning, we got up to come over to spend time with people of God. How many of you know, Brother Merle, there must be a coming together in the body. And when we can gather for the same purpose in unity, there's strength. I'm reminded in the Bible, in the book of Acts, when Jesus told them to go to the upper room to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to send a comforter to you. But they all had to be in one mind, one accord. And that accord was they all minded the same thing. One of the things that often will hinder our seeing God move is a lack of unity. We come together and we say we want God to move, but are we all in unity? Do we all mind the same thing? If it doesn't look a certain way, or we don't act a certain way, we feel sometimes that's not God. But how many of you know we can never tell God how to move?
Hallelujah.
But the important thing is just tell him to move.
Yeah.
Not to put him in a box. Come on, somebody. Everyone in here has a view of the way church should be. But do we have a view of God? Do we know the God we're serving on today? Are you getting to know him? In the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, hey, of his suffering, my God, I thank you. Because when you really get a view of him and you mind God and come together for one purpose, to see him move. Yes, he is. He is so faithful. And I wonder often why, you know, when I look in the book of Acts and they were all there waiting. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in one place. They had one mind. There were not several agendas. There was one agenda. And that was the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but whenever I gather, my mind is to simply see God move however he wants to do it. Take the limit off of him. Don't you know that God desires to give you his best? It is his good pleasure. As the Spirit of God began to move, it would have been just fine for God to continue on. Somebody need to praise him right now. I long for the day when the Spirit of the Lord, my God today, will really take over and we allow him to be God. We don't have an agenda. The agenda is what is his agenda. What does he want to do? His will being done. So it comes back to prayer. One of the things of prayer is that we all have a responsibility to pray. It's not just a select few. We all have a responsibility as Christians. And when they were there in that upper room, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost because Jesus knew that we would need a comforter. He knew that we would need a helper. And we still need the helper today. Because once the church really comes together the way it is in the Bible, we won't struggle. There won't be a struggle for power. There won't be a struggle for I want people to know that I am the one. No, it's not me. It's not you. It's him that does the work. But he's looking for vessels to be used. Hallelujah. All I got for you today is scripture. I'll have my agenda. I didn't come with my own opinion. The word speaks for itself.
Amen.
The word works. And I'm learning the importance of getting strapped with scriptures. Because if I come to you with my opinion is not going very far. Because when it comes to laying on of hands, knowing how to pray, knowing what to pray, in my mind, I don't know. But the Holy Ghost knows. He knows what your need is. And he knows how to meet it. So when we can mind the same thing, the will of God can be done in the earth realm. So number one, prayer is the responsibility of every Christian. The purpose of prayer is to determine God's will in a matter. Then, once we know His will, or as He shares His heart with us, then we should pray His heart, pray His will. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now that lets me know I have a responsibility to pray for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our county, the leaders of our region, as well as spiritual leaders. And I can't pick and choose. I can't say, well, I'll pray for one, but I won't pray for the other. We all know that when we pray under the direction of the Holy Ghost, what is happening is we're stepping back and saying, God, we need you to come in and take control. How many of you know in our nation we do need God?
Oh, yes.
But you know, the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we've seen a lot of laws come in. We've seen a lot of things passed that is affecting the church now. It's affecting our work. And so God is calling us back to a place of prayer, because over the next few years, I believe that God has really given us grace in the church. And if we don't get a hold of prayer the way God is trying to tell us, in a few years, we're going to see some shifting. We're going to see some major shifts over the next few years. So I believe, Jane, that we are in a grace period, and He's calling us back to prayer. He's calling the church back to a place where we wait on Him to give us direction to know what to do, to know how to move, to know how to proceed. Without the direction of God, who's leading us? Who's really leading? There are many churches that are on corners, every city represented right here. How many of them are following God's plan? How many really have the doors open to pray anytime? Very few. There's a church I know of in a particular state. I won't mention it. Because if I mention this church, I know you all would know it. You would know the leaders. But when they shifted several years ago in their leadership, the first thing, brother, they took out was intercessory prayer. The first thing. I'm not talking about, you know, we're just rearranging. I'm talking about null and void. That particular leader is no longer in leadership now. When you take prayer out, who comes in? The enemy. But we don't have a demon problem. We don't have a demon problem. When we don't have a demon problem, but when prayer is adiosa, when prayer is not in place, who's in charge? I believe that before the kings came into play in Israel, God was in charge. But the people began to want to be like other nations. And I think America has gotten off the path. Because who's our God today? Why are we fighting so many demonic things? But yet, we don't have a demon problem. But the Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood. So who are we fighting? Principalities. The Bible says it in Ephesians. Oh my God. Principalities, powers, wicked spirits, rulers in the dark world. Yeah, we have a fight today.
But guess what? We win because we're on God's side, and when we know how to get connected in the Holy Ghost, He'll tell you how to pray. Oh my God, I thank God because you will be able to break down walls when you can go up in the Holy Ghost and God can give you what to pray, how to pray, where to go stand, my God, how to fight, and you will see victory when you fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That is scripture.
Amen.
It tells us to war a good warfare. My fight is not with you. No. My fight is against the enemy.
Amen.
And he's real. But how many of you know the power of God is more real than the devil?
Amen.
I'm not here to exalt him. I'm here to exalt Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our Lord. He is our Savior. My God, today. And he will equip you to fight, my God. So Ephesians 6:18 says, we're to pray always, with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. We got to have the power of God. He said, Jesus said, when you are endued with power from on high, then you will be witnesses of me. So everywhere we go, we need to shine for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we pray in the Spirit with all prayer, supplication, watching. And it's not enough to pray. We must watch. We must be on alert. Yeah. That means that if my sister or my brother is in trouble, when I go down on my knees to intercede, he can tell me. Pray for Sister Baby over there on the west side of town. Now, go to the Word. How many times the Lord will show different ones how to pray, like Saul when he was born again. How many of us are getting visitations when we go and pray for God to tell us, I need you to get up, put your clothes on, go over to 6924 East Straight Street because there's a young lady in trouble. Knock on the door, call her name Sarah, and let her know that I sent you to pray for her. Now, those are the type of things I long to see. It's easy to give a word of knowledge right here because we got the Holy Ghost. But what about that young lady that is in the crack house and mother has been praying for her and don't know where she is? And God needs to get a hold of an intercessor. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He needs to get a hold of somebody and tell them where Mary Ann is. And she's about to take the next hit. And that hit could take her out. You know, just a few weeks ago, got a call from my family, and the word was that my niece had been found dead. And when they went into her apartment, they found paraphernalia of drugs, and they found alcohol, and it was believed that she had gotten a hold of some drugs that took her out. Now, when I got the word, I said, Lord, why didn't we know that this had happened to my niece? Why? Why did she die like that? And God said, because simply, nobody was interceding for her.
Come on, glory to God.
To include me. So I had to repent. Y'all can look at me funny if you want to, but we're lacking in the body of Christ. We spend more time fighting against what this one believes and what that one doesn't believe in. We got all this power, but where are the souls? How come they're dying? Why is there so many dying on the street? But yet we love one another. We come together and we come to camp meeting after camp meeting. Don't get me wrong. But I tell you, I woke up a little grieved this morning because I said, God, it's too much division. Too much fighting over doctrine, over whether or not demons are real. Demons are real. Let me help you. Any time a young lady could be bound with depression like I was at one time, full of the Holy Ghost, but yet didn't want to live, yet wanted to take my life, but you want to tell me I didn't have a demon problem? The devil is a liar, and some of us up in here, you got problems too. You got anger problems, you got all kinds of situations, but yet the devil ain't in it. I beg to differ. We need to pray. But I thank God today for freedom. I thank God today that somebody loved me enough to pull me aside and tell me, look, baby, I know God has a hand on your life, but you need to be free from depression. Thank God for liberating. And so, you know, even though my niece went down the way she did, I said, God, I don't want that to happen again. I don't want to be so disconnected from family that I don't know what's going on with them. Because we were all disconnected from her. One of my nieces, when they stood up in the memorial service, I'm going on in prayer in a minute. I got a good hour, so y'all can just sit tight. Amen. But one of my nieces stood up and she said, the last time I saw Vicki was a year and a half ago. My heart broke. Why the disconnect? Said, Lord, we must do better. It's the same way in the church. We're disconnected. This is why we don't see the miracles. We're not seeing our healings. Come on, somebody, because when we come together, somebody ought to get healed. I'm not saying nothing's going on in here. Don't get me wrong. But what if a blind Bartimaeus came in? They needed their eyesight. Could you pray for them? We have people with issues in here, infirmities. Is God not able to heal? Can God, someone said, can he do it? Yes, he can. Will he do it? Yes, he will. Do you believe him to do it? Yes, I do. I long to see the blind eyes open, deaf ears, where people have hearing aids taken out of their ears and their ears pop open by the power of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. It's time for us to see real healing. We got to get back to prayer, sis. We have to get back to the basics. I don't have a deep message. But what I do have, the power of prayer. Prayer works. So it's our responsibility to pray. Number two. Prayer should be a priority and a lifestyle. I live to pray. I'm doing a study right now on getting to know Jesus, going through the prophecies in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus, and looking in the New Testament and see how he came to fulfill the Father's will. Jesus didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the Father's will. And I believe that's what we should do. Every day of the world. Father, what would you have me do today? What is your will for my life today, Father? Who would you have me to speak to lead to Jesus? I heard somebody say last night, I think it was Randy, that even when you're in Walmart, you should be able to speak for Jesus. I was in a restaurant the other day and there's a little grandmother there and I could tell she had some illness in her body and I went over and spoke to her just to say hi. And the Spirit of the Lord said, just say a quick prayer for her. Now, I normally I ask people, can I pray with you? This mother was so sweet. And I just grabbed her hand and said, Lord, touch mother. Lord, you touch her body. Lord, you bring healing. Just a simple prayer. And she looked at me and she said, thank you so much. Can you go in Walmart and pray? Can you mind God? Come on, somebody. Every day of the world, you can touch somebody for the Lord. And Walmart is a good field. Everybody go to Wally World. Come on, somebody. Are you making it
making a witness for him. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's a priority. And when you put Jesus first, you should pray more than you preach. You should pray more than you cast out devils. You should pray more than you lay hands. Oh my God, I love you today. Prayer is a priority. If I don't preach, I need to pray. Hallelujah. And I love to preach. Don't get me wrong. But if I can't hear God for myself, how am I going to hear it for you? Come on, somebody. We got to stay hydrated in prayer. Prayer was a primary communication link between Jesus and his Father. He spent all night in prayer. Some people can't pray an hour. What if we called a prayer meeting right now? Yeah. I got to share this because it's important. Just a couple weeks ago, the Lord told me, he said, you need to change the hour of intercession from 30 minutes to an hour before service. And when I made that declaration, after we got out of service, I had someone text me immediately and tell me they were not going to do that. I'm not used to praying corporately, intercession-wise, and I'm not going to do it because the Lord didn't tell me to do it. Really? Prayer's always in order. You know, when I didn't know how to pray this an hour, you know what I did? I would get with people that could pray. It will challenge you too. Oh, I remember years ago when I was so shy and I didn't like to talk. I definitely didn't like to get up in front of people. That's why a lot of times now, I won't look at your faces. I look at the clock. I look everywhere but I'm going to tell you what God tells me to say. Because you got to have some boldness. You look at people's faces, you be, you know, if you're shy, you shut down, you get intimidated. Now, those are demons. So, you know, I'm not going to look at you because I don't want to, you know, if I have to call something out, I will. Don't get me wrong now. Come on, somebody. I think that's what Jesus tells us to do. Sometimes you got to call things out. Now, but I'm not intimidated by your look. Come on, I'm not intimidated. And you know who's helped me with that right down here? Brother Burrow. Because when I first started speaking, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm like, Lord, this is rough here. I mean, it's tight. I get up to sing, and, you know, certain people judging you, they're looking at you to make sure you stay right. You do exactly what they feel you need to do. Well, I'm not that type of person. I'm going to obey God. I am radical. And I'm cut from a different cloth. Not because I'm black, because I love Jesus. Yeah. And all of us have some flavor that we can bring to the body. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So, you know, I was trying to do it the way y'all do it. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to read the prayers. I'm going to do like they do. And the Lord said, do you do that when you're home? I said, well, no, not like that. He said, why are you doing it then? why are you trying to fit a mold that don't fit you? And Brother Burrow would tell me, you need to obey God. And so a few months ago, I got up here and I shared some word and the Lord just took over, fireball. Like I hear the Lord saying to you, sister, right here, that God is about to release fire in your ministry. That you have been plowing, oh my shadow, hey my shataya, and you've been through a storm. You've been through, my God, I see the rain and all the things that come adverse by, but God said, you have weathered the storm, and God is about to release fresh fire in your ministry. I see fire falling, and I see the people catching prayer. I see them getting in a place of prayer. I see the women of God, my God, wrapping themselves in towels and getting on their knees and just covering up in prayer. And God says, as they stay linked in prayer, you're going to see me move, my God, miraculously. So stay in the pocket of prayer and watch God move. My God, somebody clap them hands. See, so Brother Merle was saying, you gotta obey God. Okay. I say, okay. All right then. Let's do this. Father, help me. But I tell you what it's doing for me is freeing me. How many of you want to be free? Free in your ministries. Free to say what God gives you to say. And don't worry about the faces. God will validate it. If it's God, she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's going through in her ministry. I have no idea. All I know is I see all these young ladies, and I'm sure you have been in your ministry, but I see the women interceding. They're really beginning to get somewhere in prayer. And God said he's pleased with that. Amen. Keep them on their knees. Because if the women can pray the men through, you're going to have power.
Amen.
When you can get through in prayer, and you can change God's heart through prayer, you have something. It's not about the gifts. Gifts are good. Gifts are wonderful. But it's the character and being able to pray more than you do anything else. And when you come out of that season of prayer, the glory of God is manifesting in your midst so that when you get up, what happens is God stands up, you sit down. Mm-hmm. And those that need deliverance and healing, when they come in the doors, they're going to feel the power of God. And he will manifest himself. We don't have to do a whole lot. It's God that does the work, baby. It's not us.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So prayer is a priority and a lifestyle. As Jesus communicated with his Father, he would spend all night in prayer. Before he called the apostles, he was up in the mountain praying. He came down, and out of 70, he chose 12. Mm-hmm. 12 were close to him, and 3 was his inner circle. Okay? But they walked with Jesus, even the one that betrayed him. He chose him. Now, how many of you would choose a betrayer? I'll be honest with you. I don't know. If I knew that one was a betrayer, I'd have to talk to God about it. Lord, why do I have to choose them? Let the will of God be done. Because it was prophesied. Come on, somebody, that one would betray. Paul, when he was called, it was prophesied what his life would be like. When they kept telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, I gotta go. And the prophet bound him up or, you know, took a belt, said, this is what's gonna happen to you. He said, I know, but I gotta go. He was bound and determined to do God's will. And we have to do the same. Number 3, prayer is ministry to the Lord. Ministry to God must come before ministry to people. I must spend more time with God than I do with people. And I love people.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. But if I can't have that pocket of prayer with God, myself, I'm in trouble. Our first ministry is to the Lord. Don't fail to minister to him. Even when you praise, worship. You know, there's some people that really find it hard to spend a lot of quality time with God by themselves. But we grow into it. Don't get upset if you can't do it for 10 minutes. Do the 10 minutes. Do what you do. Come on. Amen. I thank God for you, Brother Merle. I thank God for the push. Yeah, because it's getting us closer to Jesus. All right, I didn't give you a scripture for the other one. As prayer is a priority, Matthew 14:23 and Luke 6:12. That's number 2. Number 3, prayers and ministry to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:8. It says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So it's okay to be different. Yeah. That ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now listen, the priest's main function was to minister to the Lord in the temple. So too, we are called to minister to the Lord daily. So if you miss your time with God, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Get back on the stick. Come on. Make sure you're spending time reading, meditating on God every day. It's not the quantity of time, but quality. Just spend time with Him every day. Okay? All right. Number four, prayer is a unique channel or a dialogue, okay, between you and God. Your conversation will deepen into communion as you share your heart with Him. And He will share His heart with you. I recently finished another book, and it's simply entitled Devotions from the Father's Heart. And His messages, and I send them out via email and Facebook, they're messages that come from God. You know, the other day we wrote a message on stirring up the gift of God, how Timothy needed to be encouraged. And I was just sharing this testimony with Brother Merle. You know what he does? He stirs the gifts. Because when people can see what's in you, they want to try to encourage you. And when I was a kid, a child, that's what our pastor often did. You know, I used to sing a lot, and as I was a child, and I was real shy, so I wouldn't talk. I'd get up and I would get the microphone and I would sing. And then I would sit down because I didn't want to talk. But she would encourage me to sing. And so when people see the gifts of God in you, they're going, the Holy Ghost will say, pull that out of there. How many of you know the gifts are needed in the body? How many know that's why Jesus put the gifts there? Because so we could be edified. Everybody in here has something to contribute if you will let God do it. Come on, somebody. I know we're different and all of that. But what I'm saying is that we need one another. We are stronger together than divided. Amen. The body has to come together. And Jesus is going to make sure His body's one. Because when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be all these denominations and different groups of people. There's only one body. In the kingdom, we're all working toward the kingdom of God, I believe. Come on, somebody. There's not a lot of denominations. A lot of different groups here, groups there. It's one body. One body. In the book of Acts, look at the church. The model is there. It's clear as day. It's man that has brought in division. And God is pulling all that down because He loves His people. He cares about us. Okay? So listen. Exodus 33:11-14, Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And how many of you know God will be your friend? He'll talk to you. He will speak with you. He will communicate with you because He loves you. So you can read Exodus 33:11-14 in your own time. Number five, prayer causes your spiritual eyes to be open so you can see in the spiritual realm. All in the book of Acts and all in the Bible, there are examples of how God spoke to His people. How He used Philip to dig and talk to the Ethiopian, I believe it was. And then after he finished, he was translated over somewhere else. I don't hear of people being translated places. I don't hear of people, you know, taking those kind of journeys. Because when you hear these things, most of the time, we hear about astral projection, channeling. But how many of you know anybody that takes a journey from Little Rock to Egypt and back and do something for God? Now, y'all looking at me funny. I don't care about you looking at me funny. It's in the book of Acts. Aren't we living the book today? Why are we not seeing these types of things? But we sure hear a whole lot about witches peering in, astral projecting. And we have to bind witchcraft all the time.
Come on, somebody. We spend more time binding the devil. What about angelic visitations? And what about God visiting you? And what about trances? And, we get in that realm. And the first thing somebody says, that's a demon. Quiet, I know. But Peter went up to the housetop to pray. He was hungry, waiting on a meal. And God showed him something that he needed to see. He fell in a trance, and the Lord had to deal with him because there were some unclean animals. And the Spirit of the Lord said, rise and eat. Kill and eat. He said, uh-uh. No can do. I don't eat anything unclean. He told him three times. And then he woke up, he said, oh, by the way, there's three men downstairs. Get up, go down there. Go follow them. Well, God has spoke to Cornelius and told him, go send for Simon Peter. Peter is at a house. The man named is Simon the Tanner. Oh, okay. He sent the three men. And God spoke to Peter, go with them. Peter didn't know where he was going. How many of us can God speak to? That's what God did for me, to send me to Lake Hamilton. I know nothing about Lake Hamilton. Okay? But through a book, I found out about Lake Hamilton. The rejection book. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to start going to that camp. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll start going then. I'm so glad it's been 3 years. And your life, my life, I can't talk about nobody else. I can talk about me. My life haven't been the same. Because we all need help.
Yes.
I don't see no halos. I don't see none. We all need help, Brother Merle. And thank God for the generals that came before us.
Amen.
Thank God for the men and women of God that made the trail. That's why we're sitting here today. Somebody had to pave the way. Reading about some of the generals that are going on now to be with the Lord, like Maria Woodward Etter, you know, a woman of God that was an evangelist back in the 1800s when it definitely wasn't popular for women to preach. But she stood, and she did what God told her to do in the face of adversity. And I think she was in one of the mainline denominations back then. Hallelujah. So I'm not against denominations. Not at all. I am against bondage though. And I am against religion. It's about relationship. And God wants to call us into relationship with Him. So when we see these examples, and God says, I did it in her, I'll do it in you. And He still wanted to use men and women of God for His glory. So we need to pray for our spiritual eyes to be open so that we can see and hear and be receptive, not just to see demons. And, you know, I'm not against any of that because I do know people do astral project, all of that. Yeah, if you really knew in the spirit realm what you were facing every day, you would stay in God's face more. If He opened our eyes to let us see how close to danger we come on a daily basis, but God protects us because He sends angels to protect you every single day. Because every day the devil wants to take you out. Hallelujah. But thank God for His protecting hand. Thank God. Hey, my God, I love you right now. Glory to God. God protects us. We get on the highway, we don't think about the fact that we may not make our destination, but the angels of the Lord encamp around about us and they take good care of us. I thank God for angelic protection. Hallelujah. What about when they wanted to kill Elisha? And the servant was there shaking in his boots saying, man, he in trouble. And he said, don't you see all the angels of chariots of fire around us? He said, I don't see that. All I know is we're going to die. He said, we ain't dying today. No, not today. He said, God opened his eyes. It's in 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. And God opened the man's eyes, he saw. Oh my God. There's more with us than against. And so many times, we go into the devil's den, don't even realize what's around us, but God said, I got this one. I'm with you. We just came from a region that was really steeped in witchcraft. And God said, I got this. Just go do what I tell you to do. Just go and decree and declare the word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. How many of you know when you begin to lift up the word of God? Come on now. When you pray the word of God, I'm going to pray a little bit of it in just a few minutes, that does the work. Hallelujah. When you put the word in the atmosphere, God listens for his word. Okay. Let me move. Number six. Jesus is our perfect example of prayer and intercession because he often prayed all night long. But before he died, he went and he prayed in John 17, I believe. He interceded. He interceded for the disciples. He also interceded for us that we would be one with him. How many of you want to be one with God? Walking in unity of the Holy Ghost each and every day. All right? So he is and continues to be our greatest example of prayer. Why? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's what Jesus does. He's still making intercession for you and for me.
Amen.
He'll put your name on somebody's heart. Many times when I'm not here, the Lord will burden me to pray for different ones. I pray for you all. When the Lord tells me to pray, I pray. I believe in prayer. Nothing goes without it. And how many of you know when God puts your name on someone's heart, it's because he has your best interest at heart. And I don't need to know what's going on in your world to pray for you. When you get in the spirit, you begin to pray the Holy Ghost. Guess what happens? The Lord can give you in English back what to pray. So your mind is fruitful. So it's important for us to pray in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Number seven, prayer is a love response to other people's burdens. We have the privilege of interceding on behalf of others. We can feel the heart of the Father and experience his heart hurting for his children through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll give you a scripture here. Philippians 1:3-4. It says, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he said in Ephesians 1:15-16, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Number eight, God or prayer is God's own word alive in your mouth. Praying God's word brings results and answers. Speak the word in faith, not in vain repetition or by a formula. I don't know no formula. All I know is when God gives me his word, I pray it. You know, when I was struggling with fear and couldn't go to sleep, and the Lord gave me the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give me the spirit of fear, but he gave me power, love, and a sound mind. God, I thank you for soundness of mind, and I thank you, Lord God, for stability in my mind. I thank you for power and love, and I rebuke the spirit of fear. And I'm going to sleep because the word says, Father, that you give your beloved sleep in Jesus' name. And you know, I still do that. I decree and declare every night I'm going to rest well. And if by chance the joker try to come up in my sleep, then we're going to have a fight. Okay. Yeah. Because my sleep, I need it. Come on, somebody. We got time to be restless at night. Now, if I'm going to fight, okay, let's fight then. Well, I'm going to win. Yeah, we win.
He had no business coming up in my sleep trying to disturb me. And one night, I'll tell you, it's been several times that it's happened to me, but one night, enemy was just a fear trying to come in, and I heard things around the house, and just like enemy trying to walk in my house. I said, first of all, you are a trespasser. You don't belong here. No. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now don't mess with me, especially when I'm sleeping. Now I've come up out of my sleep fighting before. Then I end up getting up and I have to tread. Okay, the Bible said I will tread on you. You're a serpent. Luke 10:19, he gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. So devil, you gotta go. You can't stay here. And sometimes you got a war like this. When the enemy's messing with your children, messing with your family, take authority. Come against him with the word. And don't put on no boxing gloves. You're not gonna get anywhere. Come on, somebody. Fight in the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray some the names of God, which are weapons, in just a moment. Powerful weapons. Give you some tools to help you fight in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so prayer is God's own word alive in your mouth. Praying God's word brings results, okay? Speak the word in faith, not, again, in vain repetition. The Holy Ghost must quicken the word so that you may speak forth with anointing. And it's not always speaking loud. Now, my voice carries. I get excited. I have a reason to. Okay? But sometimes, I'll calm down. And I'll just pray real quiet. It's just as powerful. Okay? So it's not that you scream and holler. Just pray. Take authority. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you seek God, you won't be disappointed. The people that come for prayer, whether it's here, whether they go to church and they know they need God to move in their life, they get desperate for a move of God. When you get desperate for God, guess what? He will move for you. Come on, somebody. You know, back years ago when they had the big revivals and that, I'm reading Maria's book again and her life story and how people would be so racked with cancer within hours of dying, and they would get them to just get them in the atmosphere. People would get healed. Oh yeah, it's documented. For miles around, just getting in the atmosphere. What kind of atmosphere do we have? Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not here to pick. But we should have an atmosphere conducive for the power of God to move. For God's presence to move. Okay. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So when God sends his word out, it ain't coming back empty. It should come back full. Come on, somebody. So when he gives you a word, he gives you a promise. This is what I'm going to do. Come on, somebody. When you go to do what God says, he gonna do what he says. He's faithful. Number 9, prayer bears fruit for the kingdom of God and it pleases God. When we pray and communicate with God, he speaks to us. He gives us direction, wisdom, knowledge, strength, and protection. Now for those that lead ministries, we know that it's not easy to lead people. It's not easy. But God will give you wisdom. He'll give you direction. He'll give you help. He'll give you strength. He'll give you tenacity to hang in there. Praise the Lord.
Colossians 1, 9 through 11. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be fulfilled, or might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Okay. One more scripture in this. John 15, 7 and 8, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I believe God's will is that we bear fruit, that our fruit remain. Number 10, make a prayer makes a way sovereignly for God to act in the earth. Now, many times we know things, we know that God knows all things, but sometimes God is waiting for us to act and pray. That gives him permission to come in. Okay? It's almost like we need him to come. He's at the door. He's knocking at the door of our heart. He said, why don't you just let me in? He's waiting on us. He's waiting for us to ask him. Okay? So, God seeks for a man, a woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter, an intercessor, to plead for his perfect will to be done on the earth as it's done in heaven. We definitely need God's will done in the earth. We need it done in our nation. Okay? And God is calling the body, I'm going back to it again, to pray. We can change some things through prayer. This nation needs God. We need God in a mighty, mighty way. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 43, 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. We can put God in remembrance of his word. Remind God of the things he said. Remind him. He don't mind. You know, you can talk to God about anything. If someone's laying heavy on your heart and it looks like they're really going south, way somewhere, way out the way, you can remind God. I had something happen just a few weeks ago in my family, dealing with one of my children, my son, as a matter of fact. And I had to remind God. I said, Lord, you spoke about this little fella before he was born. And you said that you placed your hand on his life, so I will not stand and allow the enemy to destroy his life. Devil, you got to take your hands off of him. He belongs to God. Reminding God of his word. Devil, you can't have that one. Take your hand off of him. Remind God of his word. Because he will. He will listen and he will heed. Okay. Jeremiah 1:12. It says, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Number 11. Through prayer you receive revelation and the mind of God. God will reveal to us through the Holy Spirit, what he desires us to pray for. And will pinpoint a problem area in someone's life or in a situation. He allows us to see as he sees, but we must guard carefully the secrets that God reveals during prayer. We must be obedient to share only when the Lord directs us to do so. And there are times when God will share things with you. He'll say, don't say anything yet. Just pray about it. Let God materialize. Let him bring it to pass. Okay? Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And to he to whom the Son will reveal him.
How many of you are glad to know today that God will reveal himself to you? He lets us know who the Father is through prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Number 12. Prayer is an invitation for us to rest in him. God invites us to give him our problems, cares, concerns, even worries. There's nothing that's so insignificant that you cannot take to God. Whatever the situation is, you can give it to him. Right? God invites us to give him all of these things. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all of your care upon him because he cares for you. The Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. I thank God that he cares for me, that he watches over his word concerning my life. I want to read another one here, Psalm 55:22, and I'm going to read this one in Amplified as well. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. I mean, you know, sometimes things come heavy. You got to release it to the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. God is faithful to his word. All right? Final scripture I'm going to read is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now this lets us know here, beloved, we're not to worry. Worrying is a sin. So if you found yourself worrying and, you know, fretting, repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you and take that away. Okay? It says, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now this, I pray this all the time. In situations. This is how I come out of worry and fear and anxiety. By praying this scripture and then telling God, take it away. I need you to fix it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But you told me not to worry. You told me not to have any fear. You told me not to be anxious. Okay? You told me to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to do that. It says, and God's peace shall be yours. Now, I'm learning about the peace of God because it really will pass your understanding. You have the peace of God standing up. You be like, how in the world am I having all this peace and all this craziness going on? In the midst of my goddad that just recently, he went into cardiac arrest, and the Lord brought him back, and then my brother became critically ill, my sister became critically ill, all at the same time. But the peace of God will keep you. I didn't lose one night's sleep because his peace. My God, today. And when my brother got sick, when he first got sick, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to take him home. And God did that this week before last. Out of all the people, he said, that one ain't going to make it. But the peace of God rested in the midst of all of that. I thank God for his peace because no matter what you go through, God will give you his peace. Hallelujah. It said, God's peace will be yours, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with his earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding, it shall garrison and mount guard
over your heart and mind in Christ. I thank God for his peace. I thank God because God is a God of his word. Even we have to walk through difficult situations, the Holy Spirit will help us. I thank God for that. Now I'm going to close. I want to just give a prayer. If you'd like to stand, you can. If not, it's okay. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing for us, your people. And I thank you for the weapons you've given us. Weapons of our warfare to fight with. I thank you, Father, that you are our Abba. That we can call on you anytime. You are the Almighty God. You're the Alpha and you are the Omega. Father, I thank you that you're always awake. You never sleep. You're the Ancient of Days and you are our Avenger. I thank you, Father, that you calm the storms in our life. Thank you, Lord, that you are our comforter. My God, you're the conqueror of our enemies. I thank you, Father, that you are a consuming fire. You're our counselor, and you are a covenant-keeping God. I thank you, God, that you are teaching us how to pray when we don't know how. I thank you, Father, that you crown us with glory, your glory comes in, and you are our defense, and you are our deliverer on today. I thank you, Father, that you even discipline us when we need it. You bring correction because you love us, oh God, and we can dwell under the shadow of God. Amen. Thank you, Father. My God, you are our El Shaddai. You are the eternal God. My God, you are the everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting. Father, you're God, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're excellent. You're faithful. My God, you feed the hungry. You're the first and the last. You forgive us of our sin when we come to you. You are the gift giver. My God, you're glorious and you're good, you're gracious. God, you guide us. I thank you for it today. I thank you, God, that you are our habitation. You are our healer. My God, and if anyone needs healing today, I pray, God, that you would heal. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross that we might be healed. Yes. Thank you, Father, that you're our helper today. Yes. You are our hiding place, oh God. Yes. I thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Yes. You are our provider. You are our Jehovah Shalom. You are our peace on today. You are our Jehovah Shammah. You are always there. Thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Tiskanu, our righteousness. Thank you that you are our keeper today. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you are the lifter up of our head. Yes. You are the living water. Thank you, Father, that you are love. Your loving kindness is better than life. And I thank you that you draw us with your loving kindness. I thank you, God, that you are merciful and you're mighty. My God, you're mighty in wisdom. You're never changing. You're never weary of us coming to you. And Lord God, whatever needs are in here today, I ask you to meet them because you are a need-meeter. My God, I thank you that you're omnipresent. You're the one that sanctifies, and you are our peacemaker. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're powerful. You're a promise keeper. You are a provider. I thank you, Lord, that you're ready to forgive when we ask you to forgive. You are a reconciler and a redeemer. You are our refuge from the storm. You're a repairer of the breach. You are our rescuer. You are a revenger. Father, I thank you that you are our rock today. Thank you, God, that you are our salvation. You satisfy our soul. You satisfy the longing. We thank you, Lord, that you are the shade on our right hand. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a shadow from the heat. You're slow to anger. You're steadfast, Father. Thank you that you're a strength to the needy. Thank you that you're strong and that you
You are a sustainer. You are our teacher today, and we trust you, Father. You're upright. Hallelujah. You called us, oh God, to walk in your wisdom. I thank you and I praise you for prayer. I thank you, God, for every weapon that you've given us to pray, oh God. I pray, God, that you would stir prayer down on the inside of us. I pray, God, that we would be unified in your spirit. I pray, Father, that you, by your power and by your anointing, will move, oh God, in our lives. I thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing for your people. And I ask you, God, to stir up every gift that's on the inside. Father God, I thank you for prayer today. I thank you, Lord, that we have a responsibility to pray. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing to pray. I thank you, God, for the will to pray. Now bless your people today. Keep us stirred. Keep us loving one another. Walking in your perfect, complete, and whole will. Let your will be done in everyone's life. And Father God, we thank you. We praise you for victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, God. If anyone would like prayer, you just want a prayer, whatever that is, we'll pray with you at this time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You can come. If anybody needs prayer, come on up and we'll pray with you. Okay. So, Father God, we pray for the food right now. We thank you, Lord God, for the meal and the hands that prepared it. I pray, God, that you bless everyone as they are dying today. And, Father, as we fellowship, God, and around the meal table, God, let it be a blessed time of fellowship. We thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.